signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue with the phone calls in the second hour of the National Intel Report. Robert in Wisconsin.
How are you doing, John?
Hi.
I wonder how many of these black-robed Draculas we got out there are getting a little tight in the butt from all these this activity.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I was looking for a reaction out of today's happenings in the news, seeing how, this is the second time in a couple of weeks here that federal judges have been under threat, or at least their families have been. And I would like to say, if I was a really mean, nasty person, I would like to say, a lot of these judges deserve to die. But that's not our system. That's not how we operate. That's how they're operating. If we become more like them, then why are we even bothering doing what we're doing?
Well, I think that we have to go to the Constitution and actually the Declaration of Independence and read where when the government becomes unusable for us, untenable to the average person, that we get to take it back. And there was no clauses in there as to how we got it back. I don't justify murder or killing at all. I don't want to stone that way. But I'm just saying that perhaps, just perhaps, the fear that is going through these folks' minds right now will entice them into maybe being a little bit more humane, perhaps.
Well, and that's a good point. And I've thought about that myself, because not every judge sitting, a seated judge on every bench in this country, are vampiric in nature. Not all of them. And they may be experiencing something right now that might be uncomfortable for them. They might be seeing things that are being done by other judges that they're sitting back going and questioning, what they're a part of. So maybe this will serve to chill them out a little bit. But, it's their choice to make. Right now in this country, these people aren't stupid people. You don't get to be a judge by being stupid, maybe conniving, manipulative. Maybe you've extorted. Maybe you're on the bench because, you did an exemplary job in their system. But this, what's going on in this country right now, I hope that these people are taking a hard look at what they're being involved in, because they're part of it.
This is truly a fact. And off the subject just a little bit, I watched C-SPAN when they had the Schumer Amendment. If you were involved in any anti-abortion marches, you would be disqualified from bankruptcy filings, and then...
wait a minute. Stop here.
This is Charles Schumer's amendment.
Do you think Chucky's outlived his usefulness idiots?
And then yesterday, Mr. Jowls himself, you said you weighed about 180 pounds. Well, I think Ted Kennedy's cheeks and jowls weigh about 180 pounds.
Well, and plus a couple of pounds for that fifth in his back pocket. Don't forget that.
He introduced another amendment to that same bill. If you're single and you don't receive child support, well, you can't file bankruptcy either.
Well, and this has been coming. I've talked to an attorney on this deal, and we were discussing the bankruptcy, and he told me, it would seem like it was impending and it was imminent. And he says, my sense is not right away. He said probably in a couple of years. And lo and behold, it's almost 2 years to the month that he said that, and I'm watching them. Now, another thing to watch for on this issue, aside from, if you blow your nose the wrong way or look at somebody the wrong way, that you may not be allowed to file bankruptcy.
Uh-huh.
Watch what the credit companies do with trying to push this credit, because now that they're restricting the way that you can file bankruptcy and under what terms, you watch what the credit people do now.
You're going to suck us dry if possible.
I'm telling you. Hey, thanks for your call, Robert.
Hey, have a great weekend, John.
Okay, you too, sir. Carlos and Dylan and others will get your calls right after this.
I can't believe it.
It truly is amazing.
something!
You have to care enough about yourself to want to do something.
If you're tired of feeling sick or run down, this truly is the answer. I have so much energy now.
It makes you feel good.
And it's all natural.
Everyone in my family takes Cardivite.
Cardivite.
Cardivite. We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite, it's a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Go to fights.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This supergovernment will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org. And keep America free.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We'll do this quick story here. Washington Report on the Middle East Affairs, June of 2003. This was last year. The cost to American taxpayers of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, you sitting down, folks? $3 trillion. Conflicts in the Middle East have been very costly for the U.S. as well as the rest of the world. An estimate of the total cost to the U.S. alone for the instability and conflict in the region, which emanates from the core, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, amounts to close to $3 trillion, measured in 2002 dollars. This is an amount almost four times greater than the cost of the Vietnam War, also reckoned in 2002 dollars. Even this figure underestimates the cost because certain classes of expenditures remain unquantified. In particular, no reliable figure is available for the cost of Project Independence, Washington's lavishly promoted effort to reduce U.S. dependence on oil from the Middle East. That effort, which was subverted early on by diverse local special interest groups, was designed primarily to insulate Israel from any new Arab oil weapon after the 1973-74 and may easily have cost $1 trillion, even though the outlays were rationalized in the interest of national security. However, they contributed little or nothing to reducing U.S. strategic dependence upon imported oil from the Middle East. Similarly, aid to Israel, and thus the regional total, as they say, also is understated, since much is outside of the foreign aid appropriation process or implicit in other programs. Support for Israel comes to $1.8 trillion, including special trade advantages, preferential contracts, or aid buried in other accounts. In addition to the financial outlay, U.S. aid to Israel costs some 275,000 American jobs each year. Boy, cost us jobs. We're throwing money down the proverbial tubes. They're upsetting the entire Middle East. Of course, we've always been a friend to Israel. And we're on the verge of World War III because of that little country over there full of Zionists called Israel. What a wonderful thing. Yeah, let's start World War III. Oh, those poor Israelis. Mm-hmm. Gosh, and it keeps going on. Carlos, go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
Hi, Mr. Statmiller.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have two questions. The first is, have you ever heard of the Baha'i faith?
Baha'i?
Yes, it's B-A-H-A-I apostrophe. And their prophet was Baha'u'llah, who lived in maybe the 17 or 1800s.
Okay.
And basically, part of their scripture is one world government and one world language.
Mm.
And what's unique about the Baha'i faith is that they accept all other faiths as righteous prophets of the same God, and that's how they're trying to unite everyone.
One religion, one God, one world government. Yeah.
Yes, that's their goal. I mean, it's their stated goal.
Baha'i, huh?
Yes.
Hmm. Never heard of it.
And it's Persian. It's an offshoot of Islam. It's really following in the tradition of Moses and Abraham and Jesus, and it's all building upon itself. I was just curious because, you know, it seems like that, you know, mostly what I hear on the show is talking about, you know, world government and why it's a bad idea.
Do you think it's a bad idea, Carlos?
Well, I'm not sure because, you know, obviously what we're doing in this country right now is not working.
Stop, Carlos. And let me ask you a few questions. I don't want to put you on the spot, or I'm not trying to personally embarrass you. How old are you, sir?
I'm 27.
Okay. All right. The reason, and we've got to look back, we've got to reflect on this country and what it's become. The reason why this country came up so fast and we became so powerful, and that's just not termed in military might or dollars that we can throw around, but we were a rich nation at one time, and there's a reason no other country on the face of this planet has come so far and fast as the United States has, and there are sound reasons for that. What you may be looking at with your experience in your life so far is that all your life you've been looking at things that are not working. Well, there are reasons why they are not working. But also, there are reasons why this country did work, why people were happy, why they produced, why they were imaginative, inventive, and hardworking, and all of these things. It was a climate that had induced that from people. We were once a nation that nobody disputed that this nation was a Christian nation. And nobody set out to turn it on its ear and to turn it into a bilingual or a multicultural society. We are all immigrants into this country, all of us,
yes,
except the Indians. And before, the attitude was when the people came into this country, they assimilated into the culture. See, we were still trying to figure out who we were. A country that's only a couple of hundred years old, that's a newbie on the block.
Right.
And we had to have time to grow and whatever else. Well, that's all been subjugated. And there are reasons why that is happening, and we've explained these reasons on this program. But to take a look at the current situation, I would urge you, Carlos, to rethink your position here, because this isn't working. Maybe we should go to an alternative, like a one-world government under the hopes and the guise, and this is what they say, that it'll be more fair and more just.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other system of government, no other system of law that was fairer and juster, if that's a word, than we were in this country. We were envied by a lot of people around the world.
Do you think that it would be improved more so by a direct democracy?
No, absolutely not, because you know how you're being whipsawed right now and how mm-hmm. your opinion becomes somebody else's opinion through mass media.
Right.
Direct expression like that, absolutely not. Democracies always fail, and the reason is because people, they will vote for doggone near anything. I mean, under present circumstance, and you alluded to it yourself, if the situation's bad, we might have to take extraordinary measures to try to remedy that problem. Well, that ain't the way this government's set up, and that's not the way it was supposed to run. If we still had a constitution, federal and state constitutions, if we still had judges and people in office, politicians, that were honorable people and abided by the dictates, Let me be clear, the mandates of the Constitution. Most people think, Carlos, that those documents were written for the individual. They were not.
Written for the government.
There you go. So before you look at, the old Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, or antithesis, synthesis, or problem, reaction, solution, as Alex likes to always say, be careful about what you're ready to jump into and what you perceive as jumping from. Because it may be, in fact, worse than where you're at right now.
I definitely appreciate your insight. And I just wonder, can I ask one more quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
I was listening yesterday, and it prompted me to call. I want to know, can you give me maybe four beginning talking points to waking someone up? Because I find that I'm engaging people on Internet forums,
mm-hmm.
but there's so many details that I hear, from the information that you and other people with similar programs are providing us with, it's like it's this jumbled mass of questions that I want. I may not be able to give you the answer, but by asking the right questions to make you think. And my question is, how, what are maybe the first three or four main important things that we need to get across to people to get them to start seeing, we're seeing?
Now there is a good question.
Because I hear, I hear the emphasis on RBN right now is the FTAA,
right?
And Alex's his main points are about the tyranny and the police state and
right.
and the corruption. But everyone knows that there's corruption, and it's almost accepted now that our politicians are going to be corrupt. But what people don't see right now is that soon their lifestyle is going to be changed without their consent.
That's a good point, and I'm glad you made that, because nowadays it used to be that people were scared to do illegal things, and they were really grateful when they didn't get caught. The measure is now that everything's legal until you get caught, and that's a shame. Now, as far as your question goes, what's the three or four points? My goodness, I'm sitting here and I'm racking my brain, because that's... I've never been asked that question exactly that way. Depending on who you're chatting with and what their educational level is or what they know about what's going on the planet today, I would probably side with my friend Dr. Bill Veith. He always talks to people about money issues. Now, this is something that everybody can understand because they deal with it every day. They think they understand what money is. But if you educate yourself, get the book Creature from Jekyll Island or Eustace Mullins' The Federal Reserve book, and learn about the money issue. That's the one thing that affects everybody. You can talk all day about the money issue. Why is my dollar only worth 4 cents? Why is the planet right now dumping the dollar? They don't even want to trade it in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would do issues, and depending on, and a catch-all, a good one, is personal freedom and liberty.
Right.
Probably more current things, maybe post 9/11, the government trying to take all our freedoms away from us. Why is the southern border still open? Those sorts of things. But
yeah.
But I think you will answer your own question to that. The more that you listen and the more that you consider this, you'll probably come up with your own talking points. And most people will talk to people what they're most knowledgeable about and most comfortable about.
Right. And what I'm looking for is, I have a...
Hey, I'll tell you what, hang on one second, because I don't want to cut this off.
Definitely.
All right, just hang on. Dylan, Mike, Julie, and others, just hang on. We'll get to all your calls today, if I can talk, to get to the break here. This is an Open Phone Friday, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll take the quick break and be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world, and Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Stadtmiller here, and yes, I did find the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. With the help of my good friend Robbie Noel, we've started the Republic Trading Group, a company dedicated to serving RBN listeners with the best service available.
Thanks, John. This week, Republic Trading has fractional gold on offer for a fraction over its melt value. A great opportunity to cash in your Federal Reserve notes now and save your wealth from going down the proverbial porcelain princess. Republic Trading does one thing very well: real discount prices and fast, secure delivery with no fuss or hassle.
A deal you're not likely to find anywhere else. For more information, call 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. Carlos, I'm sorry. What was your question or your comment before the break?
I just wanted to make the comment that, you know, if everyone can pick up a mirror and reflect this, you know, then maybe more people can start to see the accurate picture. And that's just what, you know, I get so scared listening to the radio,
yeah.
You know, just hearing it sounds like, you know, just like the song in the beginning of your show, you know, like we're on our way down.
Well, and we are.
I I want us to float. I want to swim. I want to teach other people how to swim, you know?
Well, become a proficient swimmer, my first friend.
Yes, definitely.
All righty.
Thanks for your suggestions, and thanks for your efforts on the air.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in, Carlos. I really do. I mean, we're not here to be exclusionary, and different people have different levels of understanding, and they'll operate at their own speed. But if you keep plotting your course in the right direction, I think you'll be just fine. And I appreciate your call. Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan.
Howdy, John. You're doing a great job as usual. And I'm calling today as an ambassador to my king. That's King Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And today I had success today in spreading the word as an ambassador from Texans against checkpoints. I had a lot of success approaching business people in their local businesses here in Austin, Texas. They were very receptive. I was not spreading a petition, but rather a information sheet from the website TexansAgainstCheckpoints.org, and on the back of it had a list, and the list simply was 2 calls to make. And in this effort, it was not only to promote this issue that Texans Against Checkpoints is addressing. It is also to arouse people, to arouse people and get them talking. So many people wanted to talk today in car dealerships, restaurants, all kinds of businesses, John. People wanted to talk.
Really?
And also, I'm trying to get a hold of Jeremiah Griffin. If anyone, I wish people would try to call him anyway. But
would you like his email?
I have his email. I'm participating member of Texans Against Checkpoints.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was a great success. As soon as I mentioned the parts in the bills about them being able to take blood at the roadside, almost no one was greeted me with a frown. One guy said he knew somebody that'd been killed by a drunk driver, and I didn't get angry. I didn't let that bother me. I just said, well, God bless your friend. I'm still presenting this to suggest that maybe you could see things my way. And he didn't happen to be the manager, and he didn't want to go get the manager, but I asked him if he please would, and he went and got the manager, and the manager wanted a whole bunch of copies of my handouts.
Well, and that's good. I mean, people are looking for subjects in which to communicate with other people, and they're searching for common ground. And the problem heretofore has been that people are still highly politically charged. They have certain issues that they're passionate about. They think they understand the issues, and they're very passionate about it. And in many cases, that can be dividing amongst people. Once you disagree with their politics, then that's it for them. You must disagree with everything that they're going to have to say. And this has been going on for the past 6 months or a year, that more and more people are from different political perspectives are looking at what's going on around them, and they're not liking it. And I'm talking about liberal left, the free-thinking, progressive type of people, that they think that their thoughts are greater than the system that has given us so much benefit. And a lot of people are looking at different issues and going, well, wait a minute, I don't like that, and I don't like this. Well, it's all basically coming out of the same thing, that we are not to have control of our lives anymore. We're to be shepherded and herded like a bunch of sheep. The arrogance of public officials is that, well, they need governance. They can't conduct their own business affairs or their own lives, so they need us. You know, wrong answer. Wrong answer. You know,
we need government.
Yeah, I need. Well, not this government. I got to tell you. And you know, I've read a lot of the founding fathers, their writings and their thoughts and their views about present day and into the future. That's why they talked a lot about if the government stops serving its needs to the people. And I'm not talking about welfare handouts or retirement benefits or things of that nature, but I'm talking about the government and its role and what it's supposed to be doing. If it does not meet its ends or its contract with America, well, then we should dismantle that government.
You know, can I remind us of something the Founding Fathers wrote?
Go ahead.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That's the 1776 Declaration.
Sounds good to me.
Well, and something that people may not often read, it may not often be accompanied with the Bill of Rights, but as the preamble, it states that these are declaratory and restrictive clauses. The Bill of Rights is the Ten Commandments regarding government. And it's not a list of all our inalienable rights. It's a specific list of things that Americans shall not be deprived of because they're given by God and protected by a just government, if that is the case.
I'm going to read something after the break that maybe people remember reading, or maybe they've heard it before. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Today, the media is flooded with reports of everything from antibiotic-resistant supergerms to the possibility of a dangerous cold and flu season. What will you do to keep you and your family healthy and safe? There is now a scientifically proven alternative with 7 years of clinical studies called Super Silver Solution. Super Silver's combination of supercharged silver and oxygen has been proven to kill hundreds of bacteria and to be at least up to 300% more effective than any other silver product on the market. Super Silver is the only patented silver product scientifically proven to kill the germs that cause colds, flus, sinus, eye, ear, and respiratory infections, and many more, yet completely safe for everyday use by children and adults of all ages. Call International Health now for a complete information pack with CD at 800-974-1879. Let the power of supercharged silver protect you and your family. That's 800-974-1879. We're so sure it works. In fact, we guarantee it. Call 800-974-1879 or visit supersilver.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Let's see if this is familiar to folks. Remember that you may have read this in high school? Depending on how old you are, you might have to be 80 to remember reading this in school. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. A dissent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their creator with certain unalienable, or you can also say unchangeable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity for which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let's let the facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasion of the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time, after such dissolutions, to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and the convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He's made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of the legislature. He has affected to render the military independent and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment from any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. Oh, what was just in the news? Oh, that's right. We're going to ship terrorists out to other countries, so we'll let other countries torture them. For abolishing the free system of English laws in the neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for all of us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of the protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at the time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He's excited domestic insurrections among us. He has endeavored to bring on inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages. That was the enemy at the time, remember? Whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose charter is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. We have been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts of their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies and the right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all the allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which our independent states may right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That was the unanimous declaration of independence against a despotic king for usurpations of rights and liberties of its people, for eating out their substance, folks, taxing them. Take out the crown or King George here and put in just at the top of this the header U.S. government. Time for another revolution? I don't like that term because that has the connotation of a lot of blood and guts laying all over the place, and quite frankly, that interrupts commerce and it's real hard on the furniture. What I am calling for is a restoration. But if they won't relinquish the reins of power, of which they've usurped unto themselves, how then do we do it? We're still looking for that magic bullet. Dylan?
Yeah, John, I really appreciate you reading that Declaration of Independence from 1776. I would like to mention one last idea about the history of world government here. The Treaty of Paris from 1783, in which King George III acknowledged the sovereignty of the 13 states by name. He is also mentioned as the arch-treasurer of the Holy Roman Empire in the Treaty of Paris of 1783. And I would associate Holy Roman Empire as a form of world government. And so when they talk about the papal state or popish persons in the Magna Carta from 1214 or the English translation of the Holy Bible from 1611, you could substitute papal state or popish persons for world government. Yep. And Jesus in the Bible talked way more about money than he talked about heaven. And there was a great guy, Greg Papist on one of y'all's the morning show today, talking about from the Greek, how Jesus was talking about money, and that in the Lord's Prayer, sin and debt in the Greek do not translate as transgression. They're talking about financial affairs. And just one last thing, probably most people have never read the preamble to the King James Bible of 1611, but it talks about world government, so that if on the one side, because we're poor instruments to make God's holy truth to be yet more and more known unto the people whom they desire still to keep in ignorance and darkness, or if on the other side we shall be maligned by self-conceited brethren who run their own ways and give liking unto nothing but what is framed by themselves and hammered on their anvil, we may rest secure, supported within by the truth and innocency of a good conscience, having walked the ways in simplicity and integrity as before the Lord, and sustained without by the powerful protection of your majesty's grace. And they're talking about the king's majesty's grace. The king was the government. The king is a just government, they're saying, because he is instituted to protect the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of the people. They're saying...
That was changed, by the way. The originals, and if you go back to a lot of the writings and the documents concerning the founding of this country, it was never life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. What it was life, liberty, and a pursuit of property, because the Constitution, the way it was written, it gave you certain unalienable or undamageable rights of a property or a freeholder
and
against this government.
Property is the key.
Yeah.
Property is the key. That's why I still argue that a monarchy is a better form of government than a democracy, because in a monarchy, someone is responsible.
Yeah.
Someone ultimately owns the property.
Right.
And if something's wrong, you can blame the king.
That's right. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Okay. And let me remind you, folks, that in the Bible, one of the times that Jesus lost his cool was at the temple with the money changers. Why do you suppose that is? And for those that are running around the country going, oh, we need to get God out of the schools and out of government and out of the public buildings, and I'll say this again, God is the conscience of man. The people that want to be despots or little mini tyrants, or they want to control and manipulate, don't like a rule book. And does anybody really have a problem with divine providence? Or the idea that there's something higher than themselves? What is the problem with that? Is God going to come knocking at your door and say, well, I want to sit down at your table and I want to eat your food, or I'm going to tax you, or I'm going to try to control your life, or whatever the case may be? Absolutely not. But what you see in the Bible, what you see in the commandments, you know, there is no accident, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people want to ignore this. It's no accident we had 10 amendments to the Constitution. You can thank old Jeffy Boy for insisting on that, Jefferson. It's no accident there was 10 commandments in the Bible and there were 10 amendments to our Constitution. But thanks to our card-carrying little communist friends in the ACLU, according to them, the First Amendment reads that, oh, there must be an absolute positive separation of church and state. Then why in the well of Congress every morning do they start with a prayer? Why is the Ten Commandments behind the Supreme Court justices? Folks, you got people that want to rewrite history right before your very eyes and want to deny the tenets on which this country was founded and the principles by which we're supposed to live. I don't care if you believe in God or not. Unless you could come up with a better way for people to deal with each other on a firm and just basis, I'd like to know what it is. Mike in Maryland. Hello, Mike.
Hey, a great show as always. That's a tough act to follow. I've missed your show for several days because I didn't catch it when you changed frequencies. You kind of touched on it earlier about the idea of the CIA taking suspected terrorists out of this country and for torture. I mean, I'm just incensed over this. I mean, outsourcing torture? I mean, you know, we get enough psychopaths in this country, they can handle the job.
Well, and
I'm just kidding, of course.
Yeah, and the thing that really distresses me, the people are not catching this. You know, Abu Ghraib prison, you know, oh, the big stink over that. Yeah, well, we'll nail a few enlisted people, but, you know, torture is part of the game. Now you're starting to see the CIA behind this.
I was just thinking, it was just by accident that I happened to stumble upon Truth Radio or Patriot Radio or whatever euphemism you want to use. It was just by sheer accident, and it just happened a couple, 3 years ago, you know, GCN had, I just have to be channel surfing, bored with the neocon BS and the crummy radio music stations here. And I just happened upon Alex Jones and the GCN network, and I go, what the heck is this?
Something you've never heard before.
True. I had no idea. You know, I knew that there was such an animal, shortwave radio, but I figured, well, you know, 90% of it is going to be in a foreign language, and the other 10% are just going to be redneck preachers hollering and screaming, so I never gave it a second thought. And the first 3 months I listened to GCN, I would go to the people at work and mock them, and then things made sense. But, you know, and I listened to Jerry Brownfield, and he says how, if I understand him correctly, we can, half of our food consumed in this country comes from outside this country.
It does?
I think it's, I believe he said that, or somewhere around there.
It's true.
And that we're outsourcing all of our jobs and insourcing all these illegal aliens. And there's, from what I understand, you know, there's three ways to make money, either through agriculture or manufacture or mineral extraction.
And guess what? They're all been severely curtailed.
Well, that's true. Due to the environmental laws and also foreign companies taking over. So I'm thinking, I mean, I used to drink a lot, and I didn't stop drinking until it got so bad I had to stop. And I think things are going to have to get so bad that in this country that they're going to have to rise up one way or another and deal with it, whatever it takes. And so right now, it's like Alex Jones says, it's an information war.
It is.
And I try to make a point of talking to, you know, if I'm in the 7-Eleven getting a cup of coffee, if I'm filling up my gas, I try to make a point of handing out, you know, of getting people the websites of your station and GCN and all these others. I try to make a conscious effort. Sometimes I talk to three or four people, and maybe half of them think I'm nuts. I don't care. I'm willing to make myself vulnerable. I'm willing to take the chance. And there's people out there that are doing 10 times or 100 times more than I am, and I figure I've got enough guns and ammo. I'm going to try to buy myself a computer, give myself a DVD burner, and so that way I can distribute. Because somebody called in Alex Jones, this dude said he had given out 5,000 copies of his DVD.
Yeah,
so,
was that guy's name Charles?
I didn't catch his name.
Yeah, it was probably Charles. There's another guy that I know that's done the same thing, and that's Woody. Hey, I gotta let you go. I got four more callers I got to get to. Mike, I appreciate your call, and keep plugging. I mean, folks, are we all in a sober state, or are we still in a state of confusion? And have you considered what is going on in your life that may put pressures on you that you may want to go to excess with one thing or another? Address it, folks. Look at it for what it is. Take a critical stance and a look at it. Julie in Texas. Hello, Julie.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I'm calling in regards to the caller that was about three or four back.
Was that Carlos?
About the one world religion. I was fortunate enough when I was about 12 years old, which is about 35 years ago, to have a Sunday school teacher at a local church here in Austin talk about the one world religion. And I had no idea about one world order or anything that was going on. And I mean, to have somebody 35 years ago bring this up was,
the fact that you remembered it.
I very much remember it. I was in eighth grade. It was a group of girls. It was a girls' Sunday school class. And she said, there's going to come a day when they're going to try to move towards one world religion. She said, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds loving. Sounds harmonious. It sounds great. She said, beware. It's wrong. We were founded on not having to participate in religion, as well as having the right to participate in whatever faith we choose, and that we need to hold on to that. And I just, I guess, put that in the back of my mind, because when my eyes were open about 10 years ago, whenever I first heard you and Alex and various people around town, and you had your little store south,
mm-hmm.
It came back to me, her statement. I thought, how wise of this woman and how brave of her to tell a group of eighth graders that we needed to beware of this.
And it will sound good, but it won't be. And isn't that amazing? And this is my take on religions and how this is being used to oh gosh, cause all kinds of chaos between nations and peoples. What we need is not a one-world religion, but what we need to do is respect people for their religious beliefs. And I mean an equal respect on both sides.
Absolutely.
The Jews respecting the Arabs respecting the Christians, and vice versa, and everything else.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. So beware, Carlos, of a one-world order or a one-world religion.
Yeah.
And those Baha'i billboards are all over town. It's a big globe of the earth, and it says one world, one religion.
There you go.
I'm like freaking out when I see them.
Hey, Julie.
They may have a connection to the Catholic Church. I'm not positive.
They tried to rule at one time the entire planet, so it wouldn't surprise me. But
they still want to, John. They still want to.
I understood. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your call. Carol in Oklahoma. Hello, Carol.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Well, actually, the Baha'i belief is a globalist, but then so are most of the others. A word of hope to the young man, Carlos. There is hope, and his name is Jesus. And I would just ask that Carlos go out and find, and it's getting increasingly difficult to find, a King James Version of the Bible, a 1611, not an 1881 version, but a 1611 version of the Bible, and take it home and read it and pray, and you will find the answer.
There you go.
Our country was blessed, our nation was blessed, because the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When you read that declaration, those men were almost to the man Christians.
That's right.
The first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said, this is a Christian nation. We have a Christian government. It is wholly inadequate for any other. But we are no longer a Christian nation.
And we're not practicing Christian principles.
No, and we are the apostasy that Jesus talked about in the last days is coming to pass, and it's coming to pass in the churches. We are seeing an apostate church going after what is a movement toward globalism. It is called the Purpose-Driven Church. This man, Rick Warren, and Bill Hybel up in, I think it's Illinois, in the Saddleback Church, or Willow Creek. His is Willow Creek. The other one's Saddleback. But anyway, they're still preaching the same New Age gospel, and it is Hegelian dialectic. I have studied it very prodigiously. And there are some New Age people. There's a wonderful book that's been written by a man who was in the New Age movement. In fact, studied under Jim Polsky and some other New Age gurus. And the book is called Deceived on Purpose. And I must remind people that God said his judgment would start in his house first. In fact, the whole book of Revelation, the first four books are letters to the churches. And I think we're seeing the Laodicean church. It is so hard to find one now. We are soon going to be relegated to home churches and just small groups of people who truly believe that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And there is also another scripture that
gotta
says,
go. We have
no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. You can seek all the others, but they have no answer. But Jesus did.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate your call. What a wonderful way to finish out this Friday broadcast of the National Intel Report. Hang in there, Carlos. We're all rooting for you, bud. We'll see you Monday.
Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.